Hey, welcome to this edition of Coffee Time with Byron. I'm your host, Byron. Thank you again to Podcast One, who promotes this podcast and helps me with it. Also to betonline.net, get your sports out. Baseball's not in season right now, but we got tons of others to bet on, like NHL. I just saw the Lightning, day one, so if you had your bet on the Lightning, you would have won there. UFC's tonight. You got AEW. They're on the betting scene. I know that for a fact. Anywhere you want to go, use the Podcast One promotion to get your 50% off. BetOnline.net. There you go. And you'll get your betting odds in, and hopefully you win. Good luck to you all out there. But alongside me is Philadelphia Phillies current broadcaster, Tom McCarthy. Thank you on joining me. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Big. Man, thanks for having me on. It's been a good day. Army-Navy football, watching Indiana and Arizona right now, playing some basketball. It's all good.
Yeah, so let's get right to it. Yeah, I want to start off, since obviously you are a current broadcaster for the Phillies. You're with John Kruk and Nat and them over there. Wow, what a thrilling season, huh? Last year for you guys.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I mean, it was...
Take us through that year.
Yeah, we had not been in the postseason for 11 years. So, you know, for us, you kind of forget how great the postseason is. But when you get back there, you really know how important it is to get there for your fans. I mean, you know, they had been longing for it for a really long period of time. And it was, you know, the crowds were awesome. Just the pizzazz of the whole thing was just great. I mean, it's a great clubhouse. So even that, like feeding off the clubhouse, was really good too.
Now, did you know this? I didn't know this stat until I heard it during the World Series. But I should have known this by watching the World Series. The Astros are the only team to face off against three division opponents in the World Series in back-to-back-to-back years.
That would make sense for them. I mean, they've been really successful as an organization. I mean,
and all wild card teams.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that part of it, but I mean, they're a really successful organization. So the fact that they've gotten to that point is it's pretty good. I mean, you know, pre Dusty with Dusty. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dusty's an amazing person. So what he was able to do with them, to bring them to where they are right now, it's pretty special. You know, it doesn't surprise me. You know, they're a dominating franchise right now. I mean, they, even with all the interchangeable parts they have, I still look back and I think, wow, we had a chance, right? It's a great series. It really was a great series. So
it was.
You know, yeah, they're a pretty impressive group right now.
Yeah, because in 19, it was the Nationals. They were wild card.
Yeah.
Then in 2021, it was the Braves wild card. And then last year, it was you guys also wild card. So three straight back, not back to back because of course the COVID year. But you had, I mean, that's something. NL West teams, go figure. That just goes to show how powerhouse of a division you guys are in. Now, before we get back to the Phillies, I got to ask you, about that division, I mean, the Nationals, they're going to be all right soon. I think Davey Martinez will get them back in the right direction. But, and the Marlins, they're going to be decent too. But between you, the Mets, and the Braves, a three-team powerhouse, I mean, what can you predict for next year? Because you guys, all three of you teams seem to be stacking talent every single year.
You know, it's a good question. I think it's early, though, because I think there's still some free agency that's going to be had. I mean, whether it be for the Phillies. I mean, I have no idea what else the Phillies are going to add, but they've added some really good pieces to it. You know, whether it be Tyquan Walker or, you know, or Strom or even Trey Turner being the biggest piece.
The big piece, I was going to ask that.
I think a lot has to depend on whether the Braves sign Dansby Swanson, you know, whether there's other pitchers that are involved in some of these deals. I think that the National League East, last year I said that I thought the West would be a really competitive division. I thought the East would be a really competitive division. I don't think we saw it until the end of the year. So I think that we have to wait till after the first of the year to see what, you know, what teams will obviously be the on the forefront of the competitive balance of Major League Baseball. I do think the East right now, listen, the fact that the Mets added Verlander and Scherzer, mm-hmm. it's a big deal, mm-hmm. you know. But the Phillies have added, you know, arguably the best free agent in all of baseball
yep.
in Trey Turner. So I think with the shift changing and everything like that, I think it's a pretty good add. I love the division. I think the division's going to be great.
Yeah, I got to ask you, even though they're getting older, I mean, the talent is still there. I mean, they were both former teammates, but
yeah.
do you think they can actually have their Cy Young years? I mean, it's tough because they're getting older and that division is getting tougher.
Yeah, you know, Byron, my biggest thing is that Verlander's arm is brand new. Like, he's – the fact that he has Tommy John,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
it gives him more time. So, to me, you know, their 1-2 is huge. A lot of their success is going to depend on what they sign after that.
Right.
It's the same thing with the Braves. It's going to depend on who they move to shortstop, whether it be Grissom mm-hmm. or somebody else. You know, I think we have a lot to learn going into the first of the year about the other teams in the National League East or the National League as a whole. I do think that those two guys are really impressive. But, like, for me, I'll match up Nola and Wheeler, vice versa, to either any one of those guys. So, you know, Phillies are in a pretty good spot. But I do think that we have to wait till the first of the year to see what else happens.
Also... What is it with you guys in going in division for these free agents? First was Harper, now it's Turner, all from the Nationals. Wheeler from the Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? You're going in, well, I mean, in rival.
You kind of know what everybody else has, but I do think that Turner bouncing from the Dodgers, from the Nationals, you know, he's the best shortstop that was out there.
Oh, by far, without a doubt.
And I think you look at it offensively, but also look at the defensive metrics of it, too. The fact that his speed from hole to hole,
mm-hmm.
meaning the hole shortstop to the middle of the field, is the best of anybody. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen a lot. It's 19 games a year. We're going to be wary of what's going on from 19 games a year. So,
yeah. Is it true, though? I don't know if this is true. I think I heard this last year, too. A part of the agreement was they're – yes, there'd still be the division, but you guys aren't going to play as much anymore against the division teams?
We will not. We will play every team in the league, American National
right,
League,
yeah.
during the course of the year. So we'll have limited games, but it'll be less games against the National League East than we had before. So instead of 19, it'll probably be, you know, 6 games less to those teams. So it is what it is. That's the way baseball used to be. You used to go
yeah.
around the gamut. So that's what I think that they're trying to do right now.
So since we just got into a little bit of a free agency and we'll go back to the Phillies themselves, I got to ask you what you since you call their games, I got to ask you, what do you think should the Phillies go after now since they got the main piece in Turner? What do you think they need to do to get over that hump of actually winning it again?
Yeah, I think they're really close no matter what they do. You know, like any team in Major League Baseball, you want to have additional pitching. But I will say the Phillies have several pitchers in the minor leagues. And you don't always want to bank on the minor leagues, but you have,
right.
they have several pitchers in the minor leagues that are 19 and 20 years old that I do believe they're going to put in the rotation or have some part of the, you know, the function of the rotation moving forward. So I'm always for more pitching. I think they're fine otherwise. And if they do go after anything else, I mean, it'd be nice to get another piece for the bullpen, the rotation. I think they're good, honestly. I don't think they're done, but I think they're good. I'd like to see some of these younger kids get a chance to do something. And that's part of the allure of spring training, sort of like taking the page, flipping it over, and see if these guys can do something. I'm cool with it. You know, for years, I think from a Philly standpoint anyway, they've waited and waited and waited. I don't think they're going to wait if these guys have the ability to be in the rotation. So, you know, I still think they're going to do some more stuff. Mm-hmm. I think pitching wise is the biggest thing, but beyond that, if they don't, I think they're good.
Now, are you the one for, obviously, the Phillies and other teams are throwing out long-term contracts. Are you the one for long-term? Because I've witnessed the long-term in the history. They don't span out. Do you see these long-term contracts spanning out for the guys on your team?
A lot of it is, I think a lot of it is how you investigate it. So, you know, the long-term contracts for the Phillies, fingers crossed, recently have paid off. So you've got Harper paid off in dividends. I mean, in huge ways.
Yep.
Muto paid off.
Yep.
So I think it's all part of your investigation. I think the Phillies have done a really good job of taking looking at the analytic part of it physically, but also numerically, and just being sound about it. So, you know, it's a different era in these contracts than what we are used to 7, 8, even 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. These long-term deals are all part of it now. Some of it's guaranteed, some of it's not. I am so confident in the way this team has approached things that if they do sign somebody for long-term, that they have an idea of what their long-term probability is going to be.
Now, let's get back to last year. After Joe Girardi, that's when it skyrocketed for you. I never would have thought. I mean, Joe Girardi is a good manager.
Great manager. I don't know, good manager.
Yeah, yep. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know if the locker room wasn't listening or I don't get it. But when Rob Thompson took over, things escalated. Did you foresee that ever happening, that team would rise to as where they did in the playoffs to ultimately the World Series? Did you ultimately see that after Joe Girardi was fired?
No, I mean, I think Joe's a very good manager. I think he came with the team when the team needed him to be the manager. I think he stabilized things in a lot of ways. You know, I've said this before, I did not think they'd turn it around the way they did. But I also didn't think that Rob Thompson was the same kind of manager that he turned out to be. And that's my fault. That's not Rob's. He was great.
Right.
And he was great on so many levels. He was great with us as broadcasters.
Right.
He was great with the coaching staff. He was just great. And I don't think that's going to change moving forward. So did I think it would turn around like this? No, I didn't. I've said that before. I think Joe Girardi came at the right time for this organization. He changed things. He stabilized things. But I think Rob Thompson also came at the right time for this organization. And he's loose. He's smart. He knows how to get the best out of somebody. But I would be lying to you if I told you that, yeah, I thought this was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen. But I'm glad it did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I couldn't have said any better. Now, this was one of the greatest games that are on the MLB station of Pluto that I see. It was one of Roy Halladay's moments. You called it with, I forget who, but the no-hitter, Roy Halladay's no-hitter.
Perfect game.
Yeah, the perfect game in Miami. Tell us about that game and that experience.
Yeah, in fact, I have, behind me I have the Cole Hamels no-hitter. I have the Roy Halladay game on my wall.
You were that one too,
It's my greatest, you know, it's one of my greatest games that I've ever called is the Roy Halladay perfect game on a lot of levels. I mean, 21st perfect game in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot to it. There was very few people at the ballpark. The energy level was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable. It was great. Everything about it was great. I wish that I could always talk to him about it. He signed my scorecard. So did Carlos Ruiz. It's probably the premier event that I've ever had as a broadcaster from a baseball standpoint. I mean, beyond, you know, the individual stuff that you're part of with, you know, this year's World Series, the 08 World Series, his no-hitter in the postseason, which I was part of, too, from a radio standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
This was a chance to call the whole game. You know, he was special. Every time he took the baseball and was a starting pitcher in a game, you thought there was something special that was going to happen. And he was just a special dude, man. He was just a really good – I mean, his intensity level on so many levels was pretty incredible. It's hard to match it with anybody else.
Yeah, God bless his soul, and unfortunately what happened to him. But, yeah, he was one hell of a ball player. I saw him first when he came over here with the Blue Jays, since I'm close to Dunedin. That's when I first noticed him.
Yeah.
And I saw him pitch. I knew he would be something special.
He was different on every level. His preparation is the kind of preparation that you would look at for life. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. You'd be a broadcaster, a baseball player, whatever it is. He just prepared. He was a pretty special guy. And every time he got out there, I mean, there are times where I felt that way, you know, whether it be with Schilling at the end, mm-hmm. or Cliff Lee, or, you know, obviously him. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool opportunity to be part of what he's been able to do.
Now, I want to go back to the 08 World Series. I know you went back-to-back there, and you won it in 09 finally against the... No, you lost it in 09 to the dreaded Yankees, of course.
Yep.
But in 08, a lot of... I've forgotten... I even though I haven't forgotten about it, I'm not upset about it no more. But a lot of Rays fans to this day are still upset about it. Do you agree with what... Do you agree that you guys actually won that World Series, or the umpires helped you guys out on that? Hence the rain field. You get what I'm talking about, right?
I don't think there was anything to that. I think we would have won it no matter what. We were the better team. I mean,
exactly. You know, you guys were correct.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for them, Peña didn't hit, Longoria didn't hit. You know, should they have stopped the game before we did? I don't know. They stopped it late. And then they moved on. So, you know, this year with the Padres, they probably could have stopped it also.
Exactly,
Yeah, no. The Phillies were the better team. Anybody that thinks that it would be otherwise is just looking at it with, you know, sort of faded lenses at this point. So, you know, it was a great series. I mean, obviously it didn't last as long as the Rays wanted it to, but there were some really good moments in that series. So, believe me, I'm not saying that I'm objective in any sense, but I have never heard anybody say, oh, at least they won that series. You know, they were the better team for that series.
Without a doubt, they were. And in 09, like I said, you went up against the dreaded Yankees. Tell us about that year, because I think you guys also were coming in as a wild card that time, went through it. I don't know if you won a division. I don't remember. Did you guys? I can't remember.
Yeah, we won the division. You know, we were a really good team. Our pitching was depleted at the end. That was a good series, too. I think that there were several moments in that series that probably lent itself to the Yankees winning. They just played really good baseball. You know, Johnny Damon going from first to third in the one game kind of led to the success of the Yankees. Hideki Matsui playing as well as he did. It was a good series. I mean, it was two really good teams, and the Yankees deserved to win it. You know, they had obviously A.J. Burnett didn't pitch well originally and then pitched well.
Yep.
You know, they had a little more balance to themselves at the end. It was a good series, man. It was fun. It was weird at the end because you're sitting there and, you know, Shane grounds out to second. You're like, okay, it's over. So what do we do? Let's go home. But, yeah, it was a good series. The Yankee team was really good. I mean,
it was stacked.
Obviously, stacked. Obviously, you know, there were some really good storylines to that series from their standpoint. You know, A.J. Burnett being one of the bigger ones, Hideki Matsui being a huge one. So, it was good. It's just baseball, man.
Your former player, that was, I think, who was on you guys the year previous year in the World Series against the Rays, Raul Ibanez.
Well, so Raul was with us that year. And he was not with us in 08. He was with us in 09.
Oh, okay.
And eventually became a huge part of our organization. I mean, he was huge on so many levels.
Oh,
so,
yes, he was.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great series, man. It was a great baseball series. There was so much to it. I still have lasting memories to it. It stinks when you get that far. But you know what? They got that far. I mean, it's hard. I will say that anybody that's a baseball fan, I think, realizes this now. It's hard to get to the World Series so many levels.
So many, yes.
And, you know, nobody expected the Phillies to get there this year, but we're really appreciative that they did. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I don't think there's anything to sneeze about any time you get the pennant. It stinks when you don't win the whole thing, and I think the Phillies will win the whole thing next year or have an opportunity to do so. But, man, it's that 09, to get the back-to-back World Series, whether it be winning back-to-back World Series, it's hard. So the fact they were able to get the back-to-back ones, it was fun. It really was. I mean, it's a great group of guys, too.
Now, since you were a part of those teams around the 05-10 area, with when the stable core was still around those teams, compared to this era now, compared to two teams,
yeah.
Which one do you think, are they the same, or is there one that outdoes the other? Because you have Hall of Famers.
They're not the same because the core that we had back then,
right?
They're all good,
right?
The core was more Philly's core. So you had Rollins, Utley, Howard, mm-hmm. Ruiz, Hamels,
and Victorino. And Victorino.
Well, he wasn't a Philly guy. He was drafted by somebody else, and the Phillies got him in the Rule 5 draft.
Oh,
so
okay,
you can basically say that he was a Philly guy because he assumed the role of it.
Right.
That's where the difference is. Now you have the extra guys in a really good way, Vierling, Stott, people like that, that are a huge part of this team. So, you know, it's different because you've built it from within and then added. And with this team, you've built it from within, but you've added pieces before. So you've got Hoskins, homegrown. You've got Bohm, homegrown. But then you add in the guys like Realmuto mm-hmm. and Harper and, you know, which will be eventually Trey Turner. You know, those guys are outside pieces, which is great. I mean, that's the way baseball is right now. So they're different. They have different personalities, but it doesn't negate how good they are. I mean, they're great for the city. This team was really good for the city, like really good for the city on so many levels. And, you know, I think that's what you look at more than anything else. I don't think you look at the pieces, how they got there. It is important, though, to have pieces from your farm system to supplement how good the other guys are.
Now, in that rebuild, in those rebuilding years after the Rollins, the Utley, and all them left and to other teams and retired, and you went through a rebuilding process, how disappointing was it for you as a broadcaster and for the fans to go through that, or did they understand it was a growing process?
Well, I think let's look at it from the fans first, because from a broadcaster standpoint, I have games to do, and I look at the storylines as being different storylines every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Good, better, and different. And that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times where I'm looking at it thinking, all right, we're not very good, but I still have to call the games the way I call the games.
Right.
And I love my job. I love everything about it. I love the pieces that go into it. I love the nuances that go into it. So that's separate from the fans. Now, the fans, you know, they're obviously upset about the fact that we're really good, and then we think we're really good, and then we're not. So that takes some time. I appreciate the fact that they have all stayed with us on so many levels. So that's part of it. There's always a regrouping stance that you have to take from a baseball standpoint. For me as a broadcaster, I love it no matter where I am. it stinks when we're not good, but I still have a story to tell no matter what it is. So I separate me from all of that, except for the angst to go along with them. The fans have been unbelievably patient for these last 11 years. We've had some good teams. I mean, we have. We've had really good teams.
Oh, yeah.
We've been in the race till August. We've been in a race till September. Just haven't gotten there. And we wouldn't have gotten there this year if it weren't for the extended wild card. But that's why Major League Baseball put that in. So, you know, I don't know. I look at it way differently than the fans do. I don't underscore how they feel because I know it. But I try to tell a different story every single day. And for a lot of them, and I get this, their story is the same every single day. So it was hard for, you know, the 11 years we weren't in the postseason. This was a really good year, though, to pay it back on so many levels.
That's the one thing I can say about your fan base. They're loyal as can be.
They're loyal, yeah.
Even during those years,
so many
still selling out. They were still selling out.
Yeah, they're loyal, good and bad. I mean, it's if they weren't vociferous, if they were bad, that's where you have a problem. But they're loyal. Doesn't matter what it is. If good or bad, they're loyal. It's a great fan base. And obviously when we win, it's the best fan base you can ever have. I mean, it's just the ballpark was so good. It was so good in the postseason on so many levels.
Now, off topic question here before we get back into it. I think this is a funny question. Who would you say it is a debate here? Because I'm obviously a Rays fan, but I'm more a Padre fan. Who do you think is the better mascot by far? And you can be biased if you want.
It's the Philly Fanatic. It's not even close.
The Philly Fanatic or Raymond? You've seen Raymond, though. You've seen Raymond.
It's not even close. I think you're going to say the Chicken if you're from San Diego. It's not even close. I mean, the Fanatic, it's not even close. Not even close.
Not even close.
It's not even a conversation, honestly. I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, boy.
If you want to add the Chicken into the conversation, maybe. But it's not
maybe.
Even close.
Okay, there you go. I can agree with maybe, but yeah. So now during your Phillies career, obviously, like you said, you've called the World Series games for the radio and all that. You've even called the no hitters and the perfect games. Other than that, can you tell me any other Phillies games that you broadcasted that you remember that stand out to you the most?
Well, I remember the first game I called a home run was Scott Rowland home run down a left field line. Harry Callis looked at me and said, that was really good. you know, that was one. The Kevin Millwood no hitter. I was only part of it. I didn't call the main part of the game. That was really good. You know, there's countless games. One of my favorite games I called, I mean, just from a call standpoint, is, you know, Cameron Rupp's catching, and he got plowed over at the plate, and it was just a bang-bang play, and I thought it was awesome. And he hung on to the ball. I mean, that was really sweet. You know, obviously the Cole Hamels no-hitter was big. You know, there's because it was his last game in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of them. I go back. I was actually looking the other day at a minor league game I did in 1994 that I'm thinking, you know, wow. Tony Clark, who's the president of the Players Association, hit a grand slam into the Delaware River. And I was trying to voice that back over again. I'm like, man, that was amazing. So, you know, there's so many of them. I don't want to say they all run together because I'm so appreciative of every single one I have.
Right.
So, you know, but those are some of the ones that stand out.
Now, 2020 also was a bad year for everybody, COVID. No, and you guys especially as broadcasters. Now you guys get to go back into the stadiums and call the games. But you guys had to broadcast from home or remotely or 6 feet apart and all that. How difficult was it to be a part of that whole experience? Or did you guys just not care? How difficult was it that year?
We cared, but we also accepted it because it was part of what was going to get us back on the air. not for us as individuals, but for the game itself. We just wanted to get back on the air. So, you know, you do the best you can. I look at my son is our AAA broadcaster, and he does every road game, even now, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous, mm-hmm. from his office, which he should be. Everybody else is on the road. He should be on the road. Right. We all should be on the road to see different things. But during that time, we had to get on the air. That was the biggest thing. We were good. We had fun with it. Sometimes it wasn't perfect. We acknowledged it. I think it made us better broadcasters because we had to do different things. It also got the players even more engaged because they were so good about following text messages and things like that, that, you know, we got kind of used to it. Not to the point we'd ever do it again, but I was doing basketball before that on CBS leading into the baseball. So mm-hmm. I was kind of used to it. It was part of it. I mean, everybody was going through such a difficult time that as long as we gave them a chance to watch a game, that was the biggest thing.
I agree with that. I mean, sure, it took a while. I mean, because you guys were the players and the owners could not decide how many games to play. But, hey,
yeah.
But yeah, that was a difficult time. But, hey, at least you guys had a season at least, even though
that's exactly short, right.
So. I'll take that. Even the Rays made the World Series, and they should have won it. But that's another story for another day.
Well, theirs was more decision making than anything else.
Exactly, the analytics. Yeah. Exactly.
But he felt good about it, so he's a really good manager.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from
all
him.
All of us that wanted to debate it, like, why did he do that?
Yeah, you know. I know. Exactly.
I'm sure he thinks about that from time to time.
So before we get back to your career leading up to the Phillies and what you've done during the Phillies tenure, I got to ask you a couple, obviously, since you're still in it, and I know you follow the game like I do, obviously, since you're still the broadcaster. My Padres... I think they had a successful year. They keep adding. They just signed Xander Bogaerts. They missed out on a Judge. I mean, where in the world are they getting all this money to spend for these players? Because I think they just signed Juan Soto to a massive deal again. They have Tatis under for 11 years, Machado for 10. Where are they getting all this money? And where do you see my Padres coming in all this throughout the? Up in the upcoming years, because I see success coming up.
Yes, yeah, I think they're going to be really good. I mean, I mean, it depends on where they're going to move Tatis. That's the biggest thing. Their pitching staff's really good. My assumption is they're going to move Tatis over to left field.
Yep, that's what I heard.
Yeah, they're going to be really good. They're a good team. I mean, let's face it. If added a couple more pieces, maybe they would have beaten the Phillies. I have no idea if they had done a better job of judging who was going to be in the out on the mound when, you know, when the home run happened by Harper. They could have been in the World mm-hmm. Series. So they're a good team. There are a lot of really good teams, honestly, in Major League Baseball. That's why I said there's so much luck that's involved in so many things. So, you know, my biggest thing is stay healthy. You know, for them, can Tatis stay healthy? I don't know.
That's a big question.
Left field?
Yep.
Is he embracing left field? I don't know, but we'll see.
My other team, too, the Rays. Where do you see them going? Because they're like one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. I don't get it. How the heck do they keep on doing this with all the success they keep having?
You know, it's a good question. I don't know. They're really good at what they do. They're really good at the managing of the start of the game. They signed Zach Eflin, who can do both. He can be a starter.
Yeah, former Philly,
he can be an opener.
Yeah.
He can mm-hmm. be in the bullpen. You know, they have a lot of really good games going on. They really do. Can they keep it going? It's a really tough division. To me, that still remains the toughest division. So, you know, I just think they understand things properly. That's the biggest thing. So if they can keep understanding things properly, they can manage the way they have a really good manager. I mean, Kevin Cash is good. I mean, you can look at the game, the World Series where he took out Blake Snell and say, what's he doing? We all do. But right. he does a really good job. He does a really good job.
Do you see Dave Roberts keeping his job after this year if
Yeah, I think
if,
so.
If
I mean,
the Dodgers listen, don't make the World Series?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's done a lot of really good things. So, I mean, could he lose his job? Obviously, anybody can. But the guy's been really successful. It's hard to get to and win the World Series. I mean, I don't think anybody really realizes that. It's hard to do it. So, you know, you kind of give him an opportunity to do it and see what happens. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if anybody makes any kind of moves if they're not happy about it. But I don't know how much more they can get from somebody in that position. He's been really good for the Dodgers. He has.
Yeah, I agree.
If you do not count the World Championship part of it, which I know they do, he's been really good for them.
Now, since you're in the NL East, that division, I got to ask you, out of all the teams, who would you say is your most heated rivalry between the Mets or the Braves?
Well, I think it depends. I would always say it's the Mets, you know, just because of proximity. We're only 90 miles from there. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, if the Braves are going to be as competitive as they have been, you know, it just kind of depends on the series. I think it's okay to have more than one that you kind of battle against, because in the National League East, there are more than one that are going to be part of this whole thing. So I would say the Mets, but I do think there's a Braves thing to it. Yeah, it's been fun actually to watch it. The Mets part of it's great because they come down to our games. We go to their games. It's only 90 miles. I love that part of it. I love the, you know, sort of the rivalry part of it. That's a big deal in baseball to have that. So, you know, I always say it's the Mets, but there's days when it could be the Braves. I mean, they're a really good team. And obviously, they didn't face the Mets during the postseason. They had to face the Braves. So, mm-hmm. you know, and they were able to beat them. That's a good thing.
And that's fine. I got your thing. So I have a couple more questions real quick, and then we'll shut it off from there. So, but yeah, that's fine. The first one is, like you said, your son is now a broadcaster. Did you know right away that's what he no. wanted to do was become no, in your fo- in I your footsteps?
Yeah, I thought he'd be a teacher. I mean, I'm gone a lot. I thought both of them would be something else other than broadcasters. I have one that is now broadcasting. I have another one who's still playing minor league baseball and probably will be a broadcaster and is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's pretty cool. I was watching, listening to one game my oldest guy did today, and then watching another game he was doing tonight, because he did more than one game today. It's pretty sweet, you know? It's pretty sweet just to kind of have them follow in your footsteps. Good, bad, or indifferent. They know how hard it is. But, yeah, it's pretty neat. I didn't think he would do it, though.
Now, how awesome would it be if you guys ever got to call a game together?
Well, we did do one Princeton basketball game where I was the color commentator because I did Princeton for 9 years. So they asked me to come back and do a game with him. Mm-hmm. And it was a last second shot where he handled it on the radio. That was really cool. I kind of just shut up. Yeah, hard for me to do that. But I just kind of shut up and just let it kind of roll.
So you were also, when MLB Network first started, you were a part of that to get them going with Please Act,
yeah.
as we talked about. Tell us about that. What do you take from that Caribbean World Series? Were there any big names in that series?
That's a really good question. I don't remember because it was so fast. We were doing it remotely. So mm-hmm. we were in the MLB Network studios, which they were just building, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we were kind of watching it while they were doing it. So, that's a really good question about the names. I have the book somewhere in my archives. I don't know if there were any names that did it. It was me, Dan Plesak. There were a couple other guys. Cookie Rojas did it. Jose Mota.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them telling us that we had to just not make it seem like we were from there. like doing the games from there, just like kind of do it. And, you know, that was hard because you're sitting there looking like, oh, I see where that ball went, but we can't say we were there. So, but it was neat because watching the whole evolution of MLB Network, from that standpoint, they were just building everything, and to see where it is now, mm-hmm. whew, from a baseball standpoint, it's pretty sweet to see it, man. It is pretty sweet to see how it's evolved into what it is, because their shows are awesome on so many levels.
Oh, yeah. Now, I do briefly remember this. I know I had to check it up again, but I kind of remember this. You were on a couple Fox NFL games broadcasting. Yeah. Do you remember any of those games and how memorable or any of them that they were?
I did a few Fox games before. I used to do Fox games for baseball. Now I work for CBS.
Right.
I had been working for CBS before that, doing college football and college basketball, but I had not evolved into doing the NFL. So Fox had asked me to do some baseball games and then asked me to do a college football game and then asked me to do some NFL games. I did a Lions-Browns game. Mm-hmm. That was my first NFL game on TV. I had done a ton of games.
God bless you. Two horrible teams.
No, it was a good game. It was, you know, I mean, Johnny Manziel was playing. It was great. It was great. But to me, that was the first time I was like, woof, NFL, man, it's fast. It's fast. And the crew was great. You know, it kind of planted the seed for me. Like, I was like, all right, I could do this. And I was older. I was in my 40s at the time. So, you know, it kind of led to the CBS stuff. And working for CBS has been great. I mean, they've been so good on so many levels.
Would you ever do an NFL game again?
Well, I do them now. I do 5 or 6 a year on TV, and I do 4 or 5 on radio. So I have one more on week 18 for TV. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's at yet. And then I have a couple playoff games for Westwood One. So, you know, I love doing the NFL. I do a lot of college football now for CBS, and I do, you know, college basketball for CBS. So, you know, I'm lucky. I kind of backfill my extra stuff from baseball into, you know, doing basketball and football. So it's been good. You know, it's been a good, I like doing other sports. For years, I always did football, basketball, and baseball. So it kind of gives me a chance to do football, basketball, and baseball, but just on a smaller level for me, which is what I want more than anything else.
And last question, I ask this to everybody. I'll let you off on this. For guys like me, because I want to get into the broadcasting industry, because I know it's very, very tough. What do you say to guys like me and others out there that want to get into your field of calling games on TV or radio, or even doing this like I am, the podcasting world, to get into radio? What can you tell us to get to our ultimate goal?
Well, I will tell you that doing this will help you with anything you have. I mean, just getting behind the microphone and just asking questions and being part of it is the most important thing to get started. I mean, that's the biggest thing more than anything else, is getting behind the microphone. You know, I always tell kids that are younger, take speech classes, you know, get in front of people, be able to ask questions, be able to ask sound questions, be able to research those questions to know what you're going to ask and what you're not going to ask. You know, a lot of times it's just, will somebody like my voice compared to this person? That's the biggest thing, but it's just doing it. Just keep doing it and try to find the rhythm of doing it. So, you know, that's my biggest thing, is just keep doing as many games as you possibly can and just keep getting better at it with each passing day.
I couldn't have said any better. Thank you. I do appreciate it. I know you got to go. That's fine. It was fun while it lasted. I appreciate it. And I thank you again for your time. It was awesome.
You got it, buddy.
And thank you for your advice. I'll stay in touch with you. If that's all right, that's fine. I thank you again. It was fun.
Yeah, good luck, Byron. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Definitely. Go Phils.
Yep, go Phils. Tom McCarthy, Philadelphia Philly announcer, his son broadcast games. That's awesome. He gets to call games sometimes with his kid. That's awesome. But this concludes episode 108. Again, thank you to Podcast One for giving this opportunity, and to betonline.net. Go out there and bet. UFC's tonight. NFL still going strong. Use the promo code podcast1. Get your bets on. Good luck out there. NHL, I just saw the Lightning. They won, so if you picked them, you would have won. Good luck. Just don't overuse your money. Don't waste your money. But it was fun. Have a good night. Stay safe out there. See you again next time. Goodbye.